Welcome back to From the Press Box, the Holland Sentinel Sports Staff's weekly podcast where we talk anything and everything sports. I am sports editor Dan Diodana, along with our assistant, our lovely assistant, Bo Troutman.
Very lovely.
We got a lot to talk about. We got the national title game was last night. We've got some college and high school basketball stuff to break down, and I'll take a quick look at some of the other sports as well. So let's get right to it. Bo, national championship game, LSU over Clemson. Like everyone had it, except not at the beginning of the year. But
yeah. No, I mean.
LSU, though, who?
It's pretty amazing. I mean, Joe Burrow was like a game manager at best last year for LSU. And then, I mean, I was reading an article today. He's broken like every single record that there is to have for like a quarter. I mean, I think there's a couple where he was like second, like quarterback rating. I think Colt McCoy was like still first. Or no, that was completion percentage for a single season. He did get player or quarterback rating, got yardage, got
yeah, he beat LaFever, right? LaFever's touchdown record.
Yeah, or no, it was Colt Brennan's
Colt
from
Brennan. Hawaii. Oh, yeah, that's right, because he beat LaFever.
Yeah.
Right,
from Central Michigan. He had 58, Michigan. And then Burrow hit 60 last night. 60 touchdown passes.
It's a lot of touchdown passes.
So, yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Like, at least had one of the greatest seasons of a quarterback ever, which is crazy. You know, because I'm an Ohio State fan, and like,
and that's where he transferred from, right?
I saw him live in the spring game, and he looked okay. He was solid, you know, not one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So, I don't know. It's like one of those movie seasons, man. It's just like,
right, and especially for Orgeron, too, to win it in his finally coaching for his home school. Yeah. I mean, he's had some good seasons there, and he's had some good seasons at some other schools. I just love listening to him talk. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. So, just interesting, but yeah, Joe Burrow was something else all year. I watched one of the games on, you know, TV early in the season, and he actually had the ability to captivate me and make me want to watch. Now, yes, I love sports. Obviously, I'm a sports editor, but college football can be a lot. There's a lot of schools. It's on all the time. We're already covering other stuff. You know what I mean? It can get overwhelming. So it's not like it's not quite the same for me personally too, where like if the Kansas City Royals are playing a game against Oakland, I'll still probably watch it or at least have it on in the background because baseball is my thing. I'm not glued to a game that's got, you know, that's like a, hey, it's Utah versus Fresno State college football, you know, like doesn't do it for me. Some matchups do. There's some schools that I care a little bit more about, so I'll watch or whatever, but man, I was watching their game against, I'm not even sure who it was, but he picked apart early in the season. I was just in awe of just the accuracy and the calmness in a big game. Maybe they were playing Auburn, I'm not sure. But it was very impressive. I think it was Auburn. It was a good game. It was very impressive. But that shows you. I mean, he has the ability to get someone to watch just for him. And there are a few players, you know, over the course of the years that really have that draw in, you know, like it's not quite as fancy as Barry Sanders, but, you know, like even if you know the Lions are going to lose, you watched because you never knew what Barry Sanders was going to do. He might run around the back, cut back and break 17 tackles and, you know, have a big gain when you think he was going to lose yards. He might score. I saw him score a 60-yard touchdown with one shoe. You just never know what's going to happen in Tampa. That was in Tampa. You just never know what's going to happen. And that's what Burrow did. Like, that's where you got that as a quarterback, which is hard to do because a lot of the big teams now, it's all pass all the time. You know, pass first and run second, a little bit different. And so, I mean, you're getting, you know, Tom Brady a million touchdowns, Peyton Manning a million touchdowns, and it's happening like that. You look at the NFL now. I mean, you've got Drew Brees throwing a ton of touchdowns, Kirk Cousins throwing a ton of touchdowns, Russell Wilson, you know, Mahomes, everybody. Like, it's just the way the game has changed has turned Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan into like possible Hall of Fame quarterbacks, which you didn't really think was possible the first few years of their career just based, but that's where the game's gone. I mean, Stafford's right in the top 10, you know? So, but there's something different about Burroughs is what I'm saying that draws people's attention more, even more than normal, which is special. And that's really cool. that that happens. And there's only been, what, like six Heisman Trophy winners in the last 50 years that have actually won the national title.
Yeah.
So that's always cool. It's always one of those weird, weird things because, you know, it's not quite the MVP award. So it's the, you know what I mean? There's that, it's the player of the year, but it's, you know.
It's totally
so,
like a quarterback award now.
Right. I mean, it is true. I mean, it's. That's one thing that bothers me about it. It's all quarterbacks and running backs. You might get a receiver here and there. You get Charles Woodson once in a millennia, right. And
but it's unfair because I mean, don't get me wrong. The quarterback's the hardest position on the field, but you have to do something like once in a generation, just to be considered as a receiver.
If you're not, So
I don't know. They got to fix that somehow. I think.
Yeah. I'd love to see. Man, one of those years, I mean, I don't even like Ohio State. I would have been I was on board for Orlando Pace winning the Heisman Trophy. I really was. Show me who's doing what he's doing, you know?
I forgot about that.
A huge left tackle.
Yeah. He was a beast.
He was awesome. So it's just one of those things. But it was very impressive. They beat Clemson, and, you know, Clemson played fine. You know what I mean? They played like they belonged. But it was just a little bit. One of the things that has bothered me of these championship games lately, though, is as an old school football fan, how are these teams? It wasn't quite as bad for LSU last night, but there's a couple years that Alabama won a national title, but they still gave up 38, 42 points in a title game. Yeah. You know, that always bugged me. When the switch to passing, you know that it's going to be a little more offensive generated, but it's bothered me that it's always been the offensive team of the year wins. It's not the best team, you know. I mean, throwing it back locally, when Michigan won the national championship in 97, they had the best defense. They had the best pass defense ever at that point, ever, as far as yards per pass and all that kind of stuff. And they were winning games. They were dominating games that they were winning, 17-3, 14-0, you know, it wasn't a 56-42, you know, or whatever. So, but that's my tangent on the whole college football thing right now. But the best team of the whole year won. You know, we had so many years where we're wondering if, you know, it was, now it's the college football playoff, it was the BCS and all this kind of stuff, and what is it, and what's wrong with the system and everything like that. I think that's most. I mean, you're going to leave somebody out with a top four playoff team. There's most years you're probably going to have five worthy teams, at least maybe six. But I mean, that's the most you can do. The only thing you could do is have six teams and have the top two get a bye. But then you're adding another week. This year, I don't think there's any doubt the best team in the country won, and that's good for college football. So, very impressive. So, yeah, football is over except for the pros.
Right.
Kirk Cousins' season is over, though. After getting his first win in the playoffs ever in the round one, the 49ers beat them this week. Kirk didn't play great, didn't play awful. He played fine. He wasn't the deciding factor in whether they won or lost that game. It wasn't, you know what I mean? The loss wasn't his fault. But it also, you know, he could have played better, too, and I think he would be the first to say that. Mm-hmm. But the 49ers are the number one seed. You know, and the Vikings were the wild card. They already pulled off one upset to get that far. What do you make of his season?
You know, I think it was solid. I still think that no matter what, Green Bay still kind of has that division kind of on lockdown. You know, it was good. They threw a lot of touchdown passes. They had that stretch where they were, the best passing offense in football for a couple weeks. And, I just wonder, when it's going to, finally, you know, those stats and, the good seasons, I think he'll always be a guy who gets, 8 to 10 wins per season. That'll never be a problem, really. But I just wonder when that'll translate to, a deeper, postseason run, in his career.
Right, and I think that it was a huge step winning the first playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
And that, just to get that monkey off your back,
yeah,
that was huge for him.
Especially against a heavily favored team,
too. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But then I don't think anybody really expected them to beat the 49ers, but in order for his starting quarterback legacy to be where he would like it, where all Vikings fans like it, where we would like it as Holland people, is he either needs to have you know, another win or two in the regular season to avoid a round of a playoff or get that signature upset. You know what I mean? We're one step away right. from that.
Yeah, if you look across just like, you know, in the current playoffs, like Ryan Tannehill is kind of a guy that, I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is like a journeyman, but, you know, he started at Washington, now he's in Minnesota, where Tannehill is kind of like this journeyman guy. I think he got that upset this past weekend. It's like, you know, nobody right. expected Tennessee to keep going, and they won. So, like, something like that, I think, is like what they
right.
need.
And it's like, you know, he had the reputation of not being able to win the big game for so long. I really hope that that's gone now. I mean, I feel like a 10-win season and winning a playoff game and being the one who did win that playoff game for them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. we said he didn't win or lose this game. He won that first game for them mm-hmm. with his great throws in the fourth quarter and in overtime.
Yeah.
He played fantastic. He played his best in the biggest moment, the best of his career, at least the best of his season in that biggest moment, which is all you can ask for, really.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's definitely not considered in the why did he get a big contract anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, that still was a huge contract yeah. for anyone. But, you know, there were so many doubts about that and whether or not he was, you know, one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL. That's gone. The contract, whatever, it's the years have passed now enough and he's starting to show, you know what I mean? I think that's gone. So I think he's just finally where he wants to be, a run-of-the-mill NFL starting quarterback. Not the best, not the worst. He's, you know, right in the middle and will rise in the big moments. I think that's a huge stepping stone. This year is a huge stepping stone. They just got to make sure they don't take a step back mm-hmm. next year. They got to be at least at the same level next year if they really want to contend. And I think they could contend. You know, you make one or two of the right moves in the offseason too, and then, I mean, their offense is obviously great. You know, if they get a really good draft pick on either side of the ball or make a trade or something like that to one of their couple loose ends, then who knows, right? But, I mean, after the year, all the years in Washington, this has got to feel good for Cousins.
Yeah.
I know he may not feel it at this point, but it was a pretty impressive season overall. So we'll see where that goes from there.
Yeah.
Shifting to basketball, we're going to start with Grand Valley basketball just because we want to give a shout-out to Jake Van Tubergen from West Otto graduate. Got his 1,000th career point at Grand Valley this weekend. That was not the only point he scored that game, but he reached that milestone, which is pretty sweet. I mean, we don't have that many. I mean, we've been kind of spoiled lately the last couple of years with some college players getting 1,000 points. We've had Kyle Staginga when he set the Michigan sports record for Cornerstone. Sam Vanderslice, also Cornerstone, has gotten 1,000 points. Dante Hawkins from Hope. But it came in a bunch. But when you look at overall, that hasn't happened very often. That hasn't happened very often at all. So that's a very impressive accomplishment. And he's also doing it at a level higher than Hope or Calvin or
right.
Cornerstone.
Yeah.
Ranked D2 team. That's pretty good. So congratulations to Jake. He's still in the middle of his junior year also. Like, it's not like this is like one of the last couple games of his career. So we'll see how far he gets up to that list. The Hope teams play Calvin. They both play Calvin before this or after this recording, we'll just say.
Yeah.
So we'll have more analysis on that next week. But the Hope men are 1-1 in the MIAA. They beat Olivet. They lost to Albion. Albion is their defending MIAA champion. They look clearly better than everybody. They beat Calvin and Hope back-to-back by double digits. They beat Calvin by like 20-something, and then they beat Hope by 14. They wow. clearly look like they're in control. And they seem to be poised for a special season after losing one of their teammates, Zachary Winston, Cash Winston's brother, you know, to suicide earlier this year. That could have been a crumble moment for more, you know, for the team to just, that could have torn them apart, but it's kind of infused them and brought them closer together. So you can still read my story about that online from Saturday's game. Talk to Albion about that. It's just one of those things you just never want to see ever. But just watching a team rise with something after dealing with something like that is definitely something that makes sports so important in our society. Is, you know, that is helping people come together and deal with bigger issues, and sports always has been that way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, other things can be like that too. Don't get me wrong, but that's a big thing. So that, but yeah. So Hope will look to bounce back against Calvin. The Hope women are on a roll. They're ranked three now, yeah. And they're playing like it.
Top scoring defense in the country.
Yeah. So it's just they had that one little almost hiccup against Albion, but they also went down and won at Trine in a big hostile atmosphere. And yeah, we'll see how they do against Calvin. They've beaten Calvin already once. They're playing him for the second time already this week. So we'll have more on that next week. Michigan State, I have no idea what to say. I mean, they both had really disappointing losses on Sunday. Yeah. Especially Michigan State, man, they scored 42 points.
Yeah,
they lost by 30 points. Smoked. Oh my gosh,
70
by Purdue,
to 40.
Yeah, that is. Izzo said it was the worst beatdown he's ever gotten as a coach in the regular season.
That was weird.
That's really strange. I mean, they were due. Both Michigan and Michigan State are going to have some losses like that. Not the score, but to the opponents that they lost to. I mean, they lost to Purdue. Michigan lost to Minnesota. It's the Big Ten. Stuff like that happens. I was just stunned that it was something like that. Yeah. But Michigan State still, you know, ranked teams on their, you know, they're looking good overall. Yeah. They just got to make sure that this, you know, like shake a loss off like this for both teams and move on. So
yeah. I think the Big Ten's just going to be like that. I mean, Ohio State's losing to, you know, lesser, you know, Big Ten opponents. I mean, I think that, yeah, it's just going to be a dogfight.
It's going to
be,
and I'm wondering what, you know, we always have those years, every few years, the Big Ten beats up on itself so much that everyone doubts them going, the Big Ten going into the big dance. And then that'll be the year they have two Final Four teams.
Right.
They're already like in tournament mode, beating on each other. I mean, that's how it goes.
It's honestly more of a basketball conference than it is football. I mean, football has more, you know, has some of the most historic teams. But as far as just like a strong conference, I always felt it was more.
Oh yeah, top to bottom. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's, I mean, probably maybe arguably the best, maybe the second best after the ACC. Mm-hmm. But I mean, think about the drop in, you know, in like the Pac-12.
Oh yeah,
or the drop, even the drop in SEC. Nobody's going, oh my gosh, Ole Miss versus Mississippi State
SEC,
basketball. It's not the same.
They're in a weirdly bad basketball conference. Yeah,
right. They usually have two or three really good teams, and 10 mediocre teams. You know, or okay teams. Like it's just kind of strange. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah,
but I expect Michigan and Michigan State to be around when it counts, for sure.
Oh yeah.
All right, high school. I mean, we're a few weeks in now to the high school season. We're kind of in the groove as far as after the new year now, with a couple of weeks in now. We've seen some different teams. We've seen most of the team. I mean, we've as a staff, we've seen pretty much everybody, at least of the bigger schools. We're working on some of the others. But, I mean, what are your impressions? Who do you like so far?
I like Zeeland East. I think that with Clairbot at center, I think that's going to be really, really interesting to watch. He's really good. I was really impressed when I saw them. Trip Riemersma is a good kind of like isolation scorer. They're really good. Holland Christian's really good. You know, when I saw them play against Kobe Bufkin of Grand Rapids Christian, who's potentially a Michigan State or DePaul or somewhere else recruit, you know, they really kind of locked him down. I mean, he still had like 18 points, but it wasn't like a dominating. It was just a, you know, oh yeah, he had a, you know, 18 points.
Sure.
It was like, oh wow, you know. No, he just, you know, they forced him to pass to his teammates, which, you know, they won because of that. His teammates stepped up, but, you know, they, you know, went against one of the best players in the state and kind of, you know, looked
held their own,
very respectable.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't seen them yet. I'm seeing them tonight as of this taping. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they bring. Obviously, Ethan Alderink is our defending Sentinel Player of the Year. Does a lot of things well. Just committed to Grand Valley. But getting back to Zeeland East, what that the Nate Clairbout, the center, what he does. You got Brandon Clairbout there too, and Reimersma, right. And they got some really good players. Hoteling, what is Nate Clairbout like, 6'10"?
Yeah, 6'10".
It just adds a different element that they haven't had. So it forces people. I mean, he's not the best 6'10" player I've ever seen, obviously, but he's not the worst either. but it just adds that dimension. If you only go one-on-one with him, his simple height, he's good enough to make a basket in the paint, yeah, no problem, and he's getting better every single game. Mm-hmm. But then you got a double, you know, when he gets the ball and he's good at kicking it back out, and there, you know, you're getting a lot of things, elements.
He can move with the ball. That's the thing. He's not just like, you know, some big guys. It's like you just throw it into him. They're, you know, if they don't get that like initial move,
right,
kind of useless. But right. He's not. He's
no. He can move
very
around.
A part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody on their team can hit a three, which helps. But Castle hit a couple big ones. I watched them play Zealand West on Friday, and they beat Zealand West. Castle hit a couple big threes. Brandon Clairbout hit a couple big ones. Reimersma had his moments. Clairbouts had their moments. I mean, they collectively, they don't have a weak spot as far as in a high school basketball team. I mean, not everybody is the same level as each other. You know, some of their players are better, but there's no real weak spot. And that's really what you're looking for on a high school team, because shooters get hot and, you know, players, you know, can play, you know, have bigger games and stuff. But if you, no matter what, you have the backup of the fact that they don't have a weak spot on top of that, that's a team that's going to do pretty well.
Right.
Zealand West, Eli Stefan is a great player. Carson Gulker is a really good player. They've got some other good players too. They don't have that consistent. You know, they don't always have a weak spot, I guess is what I'm saying. So, and not that it's that big of a weak spot, but just that little bit was the difference against Zealand East, and it could be the difference against Holland Christian. We've seen some of those teams. West Otto looks real good.
Yeah.
They've been ranked.
They're solid.
Holland Calvary's ranked.
Yeah.
It's just Fenville.
Shout out to the Crusaders.
Fenville is ranked this week.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
Wow.
So we got a lot of ranked teams here. And Holland Christian's not. They have two losses, and they're the Unity defending state champs and Grand Rapids Christian, and they're
one of
not
the
ranked
players
this week.
In the country.
Yeah. So whatever. So I don't know how much stock you can really put in those rankings, but it's kind of cool to see a lot of teams represented there. West Ottawa's got, you know, Tanner Wiegerink is a good post player that adds another dimension. Kind of like Clairbout, but I think I actually think Wiegerink at this point in his career is a little more of an offensive weapon, we'll say.
Yeah.
And you know, they got some guards that can run and shoot and stuff, and that's not going anywhere. I mean, there'll be some games where their shooting stinks and they lose because they shoot poorly, because every team that's great outside, you know, a good outside shooting team will have some of those games where that just doesn't happen. You know, West Ottawa looks really good too. Holland's got a couple of good players. You saw Hamilton boys this week. They seem pretty decent. What did you see from them?
No, they're good. They caught Grand Haven when, you know, one of their kids went off for 20 points, and, you know, kind of a good offensive night for Grand Haven. But no, they're solid. They can keep up. They play good perimeter defense, and they run. You know, they're not afraid to get kind of down for the ball. So, yeah. No, I'd expect good things for the Hawkeyes this year, too.
All right, and you saw Fenville also, yeah? Or just the girls?
Just the girls,
yeah. Okay.
And now the one player, I'm blanking on her name.
Corinne Howard,
yeah. She's
don't blank on her name again.
No, yeah, it won't happen again.
Everybody in the area, don't blank on her name. Yeah. Corinne Howard, she led the area in scoring last year, boys or girls.
Wow. Yeah, no, I saw her for the first time against Allegan, and I was very impressed. She's going to be really good.
Yeah, and she's doing it with where she's really the offensive go-to weapon. She doesn't have a lot of other weapons to go to, so she's got to do a lot on her own, which makes it more impressive what she's able to do. So on the girls' side, you know, so Hamilton's lost quite a few games. This is a team that didn't lose at all until the semis last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got some things going. They've had some starters hurt. They're also, their strength of schedule is insane. They're playing like a bunch of ranked teams and Division I teams. which is what they need. I think that's going to end up being good for them in the long run because they're not just going to breeze through anything this year. They got to, it's a new group. They got to earn it. And I mean, AJ Ettinger is fantastic. I mean, she went for 30 against East Kentwood. That's like a probably going to end up being a ranked Division I team. They didn't win that game, but she was great. Sierra Scrotenborough was hurt for a while. She's back, and slowly gaining her strength back, and that's going to be huge for them. They're gonna be fine. It's going to be interesting to see in the green, though, because I think that they could win the green. I think that Holland Christian could win the green for the girls. I think, you know, I think Zeeland West could win the green. And maybe Byron Center, too. I don't know enough about the Byron Center girls. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be like Hamilton and the also-rans, mm-hmm. you know, this year. I think it's going to be a 3-4 team battle where a lot of games are going to mean a lot. And I wouldn't count Zeeland East out either, necessarily. They're just a step behind. You know, they could pull some upsets. I think they're a year away from being a title contender in the conference. So lots of things. West Ottawa is, I mean, they're in the red. It's going to be hard for them. They're really small, except for Alexa Borgman. And they're going to have some games where they can run past teams. They're going to have some games where they can't. They're going to be in every single game. But, again, they're in the red. So it's hard to make. I would really love to see the last few years, man, I would really love to see, and this in volleyball too, is I'd love to see West Ottawa and Hamilton play each other. I'd love to see, you know, some of those matchups that we don't see. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, those are kind of fun matchups. So then you can really see how good they are comparatively, you know. So
right.
But, yeah, I mean, we got good players on every team. Yeah. We've got a lot of ranked teams. Haven't seen Calvary yet live. We'll have some stories on them, though, soon. But, yeah, that's just kind of exciting. In a year, I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest. I mean, I knew the Hamilton girls were fantastic the last few years. I knew they were still going to be good. You had the injury, so now they haven't started as well as they would have hoped, but they still got just a ton of talent on that team, and that's not going to be they're going to be a contending team for sure. But other than that, boys and girls, I wasn't really sure what to expect. You know, everyone lost some key players from graduation last year, and everyone else was okay. You know, the Zeeland teams were good. Zeeland West was good. They returned their best player, Eli Steffen, but, you know, they lost some key height. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing for some of the other schools. You lose this, you lose that. I mean, that always happens. But, like, this was really, you know, we had this last year with football where we just weren't sure what to expect at all. And everyone did great. And then I think this is what we're seeing in basketball now. Everybody's got something. You know, everybody's got something going, and that's enough to, you know, win some games. Looking forward to some of the rivalry matchups when we get to some of the Holland Christian games and Holland Christian Hamilton games and the Saugatuck Fenville games and the Calvary Black River games. And, I mean, there's going to be so much fun. You know, every week is going to bring at least one rivalry like that. We'll have West Ottawa Rockford. You know, there's West Ottawa Hudsonville. We saw West Ottawa Grand Haven last week. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things. So, I mean, the best, I would say, I haven't seen Holland Christian yet. So, in all.
And they're good.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the best, I'd love to see Zeeland East play West Ottawa too. That would just be great.
That'd be fun to watch.
I mean, I think based on what I've seen with my own eyes, not what I've read, you know, the best player I've seen is Steffen. They lost to East, but it was more of a collective effort from East, which is good. That's what's going to take. And obviously AJ on the girls' side. It's not even close. Yeah. There's been some great performance. I mean, didn't Faith Mulder have like a 30-point game too?
Yeah, she's
real good. You got, you know, Kaylee Baker from Zeeland West is really good. Sally Merrill's had some big games for Hamilton.
Hannah Lertzma.
Hannah Lertzma's there, you know, having some big games. You've got Alyssa Carner from West Ottawa.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players. And Corinne, obviously. Corinne Howard from Fenville. it's kind of incredible that it's so spread out. I mean, I've said this before on this podcast, but when I started here, the girls' basketball in the area stunk. It stunk. We had a couple years where we had Saugatuck was really good. Like one of the years they went 20-0 when I first started. So we knew Saugatuck was really good. And, you know, maybe one of the other teams was good, Holland Christian or Zeeland East or whatever. And then we had one player that was clearly the best player in the area, Capitosto at one point. Yeah. Before we had Christopher Kike. And before that, I mean, Christopher Kike, Holland Christian was really good with her. But even before that, Jenna Pluis at Zeeland was clearly the player of the year. But we had a hard time filling out the all-area team. Like the starting five for the all-area team or the starting six or whatever, it would clearly be. So we had one year it was Pluis, and we had three Saugatuck kids on that 20-0 team. And then it's like, okay, we got to figure it out, the two people that are left. And that happened a few years. And now it's completely opposite. Now it's like the last few years, it's like, oh my gosh, we're leaving off someone who in any other year might have been the player of the year, yeah, or at least in the argument for that, but they're the sixth best player right now, because all the teams are good. Hamilton's been good for years now. Holland Christian's been good for years. Zeeland East and West have had slight ups and downs, but they've been really good for, you know, a long time. And Saugatuck and Fenville have had really good girls teams for a long time. So it's like, it's incredible how that flipped, and it stayed flipped, which is really encouraging, because there were some bad girls basketball teams, yeah, when I started. It was just a stretch. I don't know how it was before I got here, and it eventually worked its way out. But it just, you know, each sport kind of has one of those. You know, you'll be like, man, that 3 or 4 year period was awful for soccer or volleyball or football, even, you know, for some teams, you know. So just interesting how that goes. But we got, yeah, got some good. There's no team that I'm just like, man, they're the best team in the area. We got a lot of good teams. Got a lot of good players, and yeah, it's spread out, which is really exciting, because it makes, there's something a little extra to watch for in every game now, because you're either watching, you know, two really great teams or one really great team against a team that's got a really great player, and that, you know, there's all kinds of things like that. So it's very exciting. So we'll update you more on high school basketball next week. We'll have more on wrestling and swimming. I hope you read both stories about the kids from the area who have gotten their 100th career wrestling wins this year. They will not be the only ones this year to reach those milestones. So check out for that. Swimming is in in full force now too, so we'll have more updates on high school swimming. And plus, we have I think 50 some college swimmers from the area currently, including I think 29 Division I kids. Wow. That's insane. So there'll be lots of coverage on that too, and just keeping up with everybody that we have swimming everywhere, and also playing basketball or whatever else, you know, in the area too. So but yeah, next week we'll have more Hope Calvin analysis, and you know, talk more about high school hoops for sure. So have a great week. Go out and see some teams play. Full week of sports happening, so lots of basketball. Get out and see them.
Can I add something real quick?
You can add something. Okay. Bo would love to add something.
PSA. There. So I was my first job at a college was in Illinois. I covered 12 high schools and a basketball, the whole deal. I'll tell you what. The buzzers in this area are way too loud. I mean, it's I bought earplugs, like nice ones, like reusable, like nice ones, like plastic ones. Like the Civic Center and like West Ottawa stand out to me too as like two of the worst ones.
They're very loud. It's true.
It's extremely loud. It's like, you know, it's like head rattlingly. If you're at West Ottawa, if you're sitting up and, you know, and you listen for it, it's like, oh my gosh, man, it's like a ship coming into port. It's like, oh,
all right,
my
so
God.
Everybody, yeah, that is a shout out to everybody.
Spread the word.
When you see Bo at a game, watch his reaction when the buzzers go off.
Yeah,
because apparently it was funny at one point. And so, all right, so that is our PSA for the week.
Yes.
Bo says the buzzers are too loud. Save your hearing, ladies and gentlemen. Turn the music down.
That's right.
getting too old for this.
That's right. Yeah. Get out of my yard.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, I can't imagine us ending on a better note than that. So get out and watch some sports. Mind your ears for the buzzers. And we will be back next week. For Bo, I'm Dan. Have a good week.